Welcome to Weekly Wings, your go-to podcast from dronelife.com, where we soar through the latest in drone technology, regulation updates, and exciting innovations. Each week, join Samuel, Terry, and I as we navigate the drone industry, offering expert insights, interviews with key figures, and a bird's eye view of how drones are shaping our world. Commercial applications to recreational adventures, Weekly Wings delves into how these remarkable vehicles are impacting education, construction, filmmaking, delivery services, and much more. Whether you are a professional drone operator, a hobbyist, or just drone curious, tune in to stay informed and inspired as we explore the heights of what's possible in the world of drones. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of Weekly Wings, where the future is looking up. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 9 of Weekly Wings. How are you doing, Samuel?
I'm doing very well. Happy July 4th weekend. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Terry, have you, can you tell us how, Zephyr Flight Simulator is doing?
I cannot. I'm sorry. No, sorry. I don't play single player games, man. I have a competitive edge to me. Can't compete with myself all the time, you know?
You can compete with others, because
you were just telling, before Samuel got on, you were talking about how you have all this downtime and you're...
Yeah, I play competitive games, man.
A competitive game.
If I can't make somebody yell, I don't want to play it, you know?
Can I get you on Elden Ring, Terry?
Am I 1v1 in you, or...
Would you play that? You know what that is, Paul?
I would play it.
I have no idea.
It's a single player. I don't even know how to describe it. Fantasy games, but yeah. Well, we got to get on that Zephyr Simulator. See if we can beat each other's scores. Start racing against each other. That's the idea, right? Do we know if they have a time thing?
How about that?
Oh, they time it. There's like an obstacle course, so you can You can run the obstacle course. There's different.
How about that?
They certainly gamify it, but
next week. We got to get a time.
Yeah, Terry would know if he, you know, was diving into. No, anyway, and then speaking competitive, UFC 303. That'll be exciting. Has happened as this recording is posted, but we are going into that weekend, so. Very exciting. We got some really good topics to discuss. We're here in North Carolina talking about farmers. We're in Florida talking about a Florida man, right? We're in the Ukraine talking about FPV piloting, right? This idea of what is a product? Is it a consumer, a recreational vehicle? Is it an enterprise vehicle? And with FPV drones weaponized on the battlefield, it's completely crossing the lines of, you know, what is defense and what is consumer. So that's neat. We'll touch on a little bit of NASA, SpaceX, falling debris, just a really intriguing story coming out of the aerospace industry. Some light show stuff. You might have time to even catch this. Book your flight for, you know, a large drone light show that Samuel's gonna inform us all about, and we'll end the episode talking a little bit on the regulatory side in regards to country of origin or manufacturer drone bans. But diving right into this week's episode, again, here in North Carolina, and actually starting out with the DJI ban. We got North Carolina farmer weighing in on China ag spray drones battle. Everyone is contacting their state reps. So this came out June 24th. Agriculture Farm, Ag Farmers News article by Elaine Watson. So you can see Russell Hedrick here has been using ag spray drones made by DJI for the previous 4 years. And dude's got some awards. Dude, he's done some significant stuff, and he's been trying to, you know, reach out to Senator Budd and Senator Tillis, folks who are behind, as we've shared in the past, a lot of this, you know, momentum to ban DJI. It's really unfortunate, but it's really neat to hear and see this coming out. It's not about public safety, but rather, you know, a farmer in North Carolina who's growing corn and soybeans in Hickory, North Carolina.
I mean, he's doing something right. He holds the state record for soybean yield. There's some pretty big soybean farms near me. So he's doing something right.
Yeah, and so these drones, right, no one talks too much about the agriculture side. When people think agriculture, drones, they're not necessarily immediately thinking of the spraying, right? The ability to use a drone in order to spray crops. People are thinking mapping, modeling, you know, using the drone from a visual standpoint. And there are other drones available that are not made by DJI or Chinese companies that can do that sort of stuff. Map, create, you know, models, and, you know, give you visual photos and multispectral things of that nature. But if you go and look from an agriculture spray drone, there is there really isn't anything like the photo you're seeing here. DJI's ability to produce a large heavy lift drone.
Technically, a quadcopter we're looking at.
So the Agris T40 and the T50 is DJI's latest flagship spray drones, and the frame has, you know, the picture here looks like a traditional quad, but if you look closer, you'll see that there's two motors on each arm there. So right. It's actually an it's a quad configuration with 8 total motors to increase the lift capacity without increasing the physical footprint of the drone itself.
Makes sense. And it's just blasting those crops.
And so it,
maybe blasting is too strong of a word, but it is very thoroughly doing its job.
Dispersing, right? Mm-hmm. It's so folks have mentioned that because of the downwash, there is, you know, some folks that have posted and written and researched that the spray of the drone close to the crop and then the actual prop wash, the downwash of the propellers themselves, it actually helps with the dispersion of the of the product evenly over the crops.
That makes a lot of sense, to be honest.
Oof. Investment.
Yeah, so something like this. The T50. And so you're spraying, and then also you have the ability to spread. So in this video, you're going to see a clip where it's actually spreading seed or fertilizer.
With your experience, Paul, do you think there is anything that can contend with this in the drone market right now? Anything comparable?
There certainly is. Platforms out there that can pick this up that have these pumps, but their ability to do it efficiently and integrate and the you know, doing it once is one thing, but being able to do it over and over and over and over again, because it becomes a critical part of the business, right? That is where other people have lacked. And so while there are other heavy lift vehicles, there's just none that you can turn on and within a minute, it's just ready to go. Right. And then these drones can sync together and swarm and talk to each other. Because when you have 30 acres, you're not using, you know, you could use just one drone, but you could also get two and start them at the same time and have them communicating to each other. 50 kilogram payload.
I do feel like that's one of the biggest things here is like, yeah, you know, there might be something else in the market for this farmer to use, but he's telling our representatives this because his business is kind of dependent on it. This is what the thing he is immediately using. There's nothing that can fill that void yet. Nothing completely comparable.
110 pounds is how much this carries. So you're well over the 55 pound, you know, part 107, your standard. This requires your agriculture spray. So there's a software there. It's just, you know,
nice,
really, just really all around. And then the cost, when you just kind of look at quick numbers, you know, you're around a $25,000 price point. So again, just people speaking out here in North Carolina, trying to talk to these politicians, being able to pair the small drone with the large drone, they work together. It's scalable. It's repetitive, it's consistent, all those things that you're looking for to be successful in business is what they've been using last 4 years. And there is what up? Was that something going on there?
I was trying to find the right thing and I clicked the wrong one.
Yeah. No, you're good. And just right here, how, you know, this individual, this farmer out of North Carolina, Russell, Mr. Hedrick, you know, he kind of adds here what other people have said is, you know, American-made drones, if we had American-made drones using American-made parts with American-made software that were as affordable and as good as DJI, we wouldn't have an issue with a ban, is what this is saying. But right now, they don't exist. And I don't see them existing in the next 5 to 10 years because we don't have the capacity and technology to keep up. It's hard to admit that, right? But again, we're in election season, so I think there's just a lot of posturing going on. But I was excited to see this article come out.
Especially seeing that, I don't know, the video you showed us with the drone spraying, like, it just how effective it is. Because, you know, you can think about, oh yeah, it's a drone. There's another method, probably a tractor, to be able to do it. But this is a fully autonomous drone that you can pop up and go, I don't know, you're technically monitoring it, but still it looks 10 times more effective than what he probably was previously doing.
So he talks about ground spraying. Ground spraying is just ineffective when you're doing corn, the height of it, right? The size of a 30-acre soybean field. So then it's an airplane. But then an airplane is so much more costly that you're kind of having to figure out, like, you know, the less acres you have, the more expensive it is, but is the value there? And so if you're having an airplane, you're trying to cover large swaths and put a lot of product on there. So and then moving from North Carolina, you know, heading to Florida, just funny because
have you ever heard a local Florida man and then type in your birth year and your birth date and it'll show you a story of what happened in Florida on that day?
No.
Have you heard of that, Terry? Feel validated.
Because it's always a Florida man.
It's always the Florida man.
And the tag's here. So Florida man arrested for shooting down Walmart delivery drone.
Was this a wing drone?
Drone XL. This is up, I think. This is drone up. This was two days ago. 72-year-old Florida man, got the mug shot up there, has been arrested for allegedly shooting a Walmart delivery drone out of the sky.
Allegedly.
Causing thousands of dollars in damages.
I guess he didn't like
the
drone.
And so the article goes on. Right, the article goes on to say incident occurred in the Overlook at Lake Lucia neighborhood in Lake County, Florida. A two-man crew from Drone Up, Walmart's drone delivery partner, was conducting a proof of concept mock delivery when they heard what sounded like a gunshot. The drone, which was descending from 230 feet to about 75 feet, quickly returned to the nearby Walmart store. The crew inspected it. Damage to the payload system, which the article says was about $2,500, plus additional business impact due to the aircraft being grounded. Deputies arrested Wynn, and he allegedly admitted to using a 9mm handgun to shoot the drone.
So why is it allegedly?
Yeah,
did I miss a part of the article?
Well, so he allegedly admitted. And then while waiting, there's like a quote here. While waiting for a transport vehicle, Wynn allegedly yelled out to a neighbor that he was going to jail for shooting a drone.
So I guess if you were getting arrested,
and your neighbor's like, what? Yeah, well, if your neighbor's like, what happened? And you're like, you're being kind of like, I don't know, you're confused. You're like, they're taking me to jail because I shot a drone. Oh, and is that a confession? Or is that just you explaining because someone came to your door and is like, well, we're arresting you because we have reason to believe you did this. And it's allegedly
claiming he thought it was surveilling him. Did you, it was up on the top paragraph, the arrest.
He had some past experiences with drones that he believed were spying on him.
What is he doing that he thinks he's being spied on?
Yeah.
That's my question.
It's America. It's America. Florida, he can do whatever he wants.
It's specifically Florida.
By now he would have invested in the shotgun shells. 9mm ain't going to do it.
Well, I was kind of impressed. The drone was like, hey, something's wrong. I'm going back to base. Like, I wonder what it said, the payload.
Let's see. Yeah, the payload. So I'm not sure if that's like, sometimes payload can mean camera, but then because it's delivery drones, you think payload might mean food or the consumer goods inside. Maybe that's the payload.
Yeah.
So it's,
I do think that's cool.
It wasn't really clear. And then the like, article.
Ew, let's book it. Let's go home. This is not it. You know?
Yeah, thank God it didn't go down.
ShotSpotter, we were talking about. Remember we were talking about ShotSpotter, I think, on another episode, and someone was, I don't remember if it was you, Terry, like asking if the drone itself like had the technology or if it was something else I was listening to. And someone said maybe like having the sensor on the drone. So it's your drone, if your delivery drone needs ShotSpotter, then something's going wrong. Like I could understand police using gun detection software, but one wrong area, you know, two in the, and you know, Drone XL article here, it does point out that this incident certainly raises, you know, people's, I don't know about awareness, but like the need for education. Because these operations pop up anywhere. Like traditionally you move in near the airport, you kind of I think you're supposed to tell people this house is so close to an airport, or there's like some standards there. Whereas with the drone delivery, it's, you know, what is the appropriate way to educate? How do you educate? Is it supposed to be like a TikTok campaign that the FAA runs? Because how else are you supposed to get people's attention, especially 72-year-old Dennis Nguyen, right? Like you like putting a door hanger on his
carrier pigeon.
That's a really good idea. That would probably work. Definitely. I don't know. You might shoot it down, Terry. You know, okay.
Past experiences.
Anything with wings. I don't know if.
What? Out of curiosity, how did they, you know, like, was this a quadcopter, a fixed wing, a hexcopter? What were they kind of? What are we looking at? Do we know?
Drone. It's drone up, flying for Walmart, and I believe they have I think they have a quadcopter with stacked motor.
Okay.
I think they're flying a Watts in.
That's what I'm seeing on my end.
And from my understanding, drone up will have a wire octocopter with the package on the ground, and then the drone takes off and it slowly raises the wire with it. Is that still what their operations look like?
I think that this system is launched with it attached, but we might see in the video. Yeah, I think it's launched
attached.
That's
crazy, just seeing that it's the whole package is exposed.
It's an interesting looking hook there.
Industry standards here. Look at this. Like, yeah, you can see how it's stacked motors right here, top and bottom. Yeah. So,
well, it's weird because it looks like there was some PVC piping for a square on the bottom of the landing gear, except there it is. And then it disappears in the next shot, I think. Yeah, where'd it go?
I think it's a different platform. Come on, Samuel. You know how
I'm trying to educate myself as we're doing this.
You got to look closer. You got to look closer. You'll see the video cuts. Yeah, see? So it's like two different systems.
Huh.
Well, one of them took a hit.
And it didn't go down. I mean, that's interesting, I think, that it got shot by a 9mm and it didn't go down. If I got shot by a 9mm, I'm probably going down.
I wonder what altitude. Wait, see the camera here? So it has a camera, but then here's your payload. So
it said in the article altitude, didn't it?
75 feet, I think. So probably delivery altitude.
I believe it was descending for a delivery when the person got it. Yeah, but old David Nguyen, Dennis Nguyen, this I've been, you know, people have been asked, you know, with the background in drone delivery, it's just like, oh, is anyone shot? It was a matter of when, you know, like at what point. So this will go on all, you know, news stations, and then it's not just today that we're going to hear about it, because at this point, everything's allegedly. Well, if this happened and the evidence is there and they prosecute, then you become it's not allegedly any. I am not a lawyer, nor am I a criminal. There. Convicted, right? I don't know what the term is, but the news report changes, because then it becomes, oh, the Florida man who shot a drone down in June has been found guilty of this, and this, and now is going to be, you know, fined so much dollars or whatever. So that's when it will gain even more traction. I guess kind of to transition, it kind of makes sense, Terry, like we went from drone to drone and one weapon story to now we're going to talk about the drone as the weapon.
Yeah, drone fights back.
in Ukraine. So what do we got here that I'm pulling up?
So this is a Ukrainian FPV pilot. I don't exactly know what ace means. I think that means he has like five confirmed no-nos.
Oh, ace, just like he's like an ace. Like he's a really good pilot.
Oh, okay. So his nickname's Darwin. That's his call sign. He basically sits in a concrete bunker, vapes, and is really good at his job. I don't really want to get into it too much because it's kind of disturbing to me. And he kind of gets into that, but his mentality's interesting, to say the least. I would recommend watching the video. But you do get a good insight into how these people operate.
Did he just hit the vape?
A Russian FPV station. Oh yeah, he's popping that vape left.
Hit
and
the
right
vape in. While he's flying his FPV.
They got caffeine. Yeah, they wake up at 4 a.m. Stay till like 6:30. They leave at like 4 a.m. so they can beat the thermal imaging of the Russian drones. So they're harder to spot. It's interesting how drones are landscaping the future of war. Like, this is frontline warfare. There used to be trenches. Now you got drones flying at you. It's wild.
And so, for anyone that's just listening on audio only, not seeing the video, it's like 12 or 13 minute Scripps News video where the journalist embedded himself and the team right there with this pilot Darwin and the team, and it is really eye opening. Folks on LinkedIn, YouTube have been seeing these videos of FPV drones being weaponized and flown into tanks and armored vehicles and flown into individual people. You know, warfare technology that was in video games a decade ago.
And it looked, I just want to
he's 20
in.
Years old.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say,
I see
it's
he's
just
20
giving...
years old. He's 20. This... Go ahead,
I have a slow connection, so I apologize about that, but it's giving Ready Player One militarized with the energy drinks, the goggles, and the vape. And that's all I have to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he's 20 years old, right? So this is just a young, you know, young adult. The country entirely turned upside down years ago, and this is how they've been able to defend themselves and maintain a degree of tactical advantage is taking the resources available to them. Again, this video and the link that we can put into the YouTube description here so people can watch. It's just really interesting, and it shows it adds context to a lot of these videos that have been surfacing on LinkedIn and YouTube, where all you're seeing is just the short clip of the FPV drone flying into it. And when you're seeing this and you're seeing the full picture start to finish, Terry mentioned they're getting up at 3-4 a.m. in order to get into position, and then, you know, they're flying 25, 30, 40, 50 flights in a single day, and being as covert as possible. And it really shows a lot of, you know, how it's not one person doing this. It's one experienced pilot, but then you've got, you know, a navigator, you've got the people prepping the aircraft, and it's a real military standardized operation.
Yeah, I wasn't aware they used navigators, but he was helping them spot combatives and find where they might be, to kind of like telling, he had like his own screen where he could watch what he's seeing, and he was trying to help him find the enemy. That's interesting. I think he even had at one point had like a pin, and he was like kind of marking on his like what he sees in his FPV goggle, like so he can look in that direction.
You only have so much time, so you really it's you know, when you have that location that you know you're trying to get to, you have minutes, right? With these drones that you're seeing here, you're maximizing the amount you can carry, which reduces your flight time. And so the crazy thing about this is you don't bring the drone back and start over. If you got 30 drones, it's like, it's just like munitions in a standard firearm, right? If you shoot and miss the target, you don't get that bullet back. It's spent and it's gone. You can see here, if you're watching video, you've got low battery. So it's going, you know, the drone is not coming back, whether it gets to that desired location or not. It's very intriguing, and there and you know, it certainly is graphic. You can see
It's definitely depressing, I would say. It's coming to the realization that anything can be used as like for destructive purposes almost.
And so the video does go on, and it's like, where are you getting these drones? How are these getting made? What is going on? And they sit down with someone in the Ukrainian government and they talk, hey, we need 1 million drones. It goes back to when you had the American Revolution, and the European, the British soldiers are coming over with their uniforms on and their muskets and their standards and their ranks and file, and everything was done in a very standard way. And then you had the, you know, the patriots, the new colonists, with their own weapons, not government purchased or funded, their own weapons that they used to hunt a year earlier to catch food and feed their families. They were melting down whatever metal they could get their hands on, running through, you know, jungle warfare, guerrilla warfare, and the British are getting pissed. Like, you guys need to come out and stand in the field and fight us. And it's like, why would we stand in front of you and your cannons and your artillery? And like, we'd be fools. You would just walk through us. And they're like, yeah, that's what we came here to do. Stay in your houses, eat your food, and walk through the mill. And it's like, no, we're going to hide. We're going to do tactics that people haven't seen before. And we'll do anything. So now, you know, the video is really good to see they're, you know, making these drones in their houses, right? But how long can this go on for? How do you maintain that? Because it's going to kill, you know, 20-year-olds, 18, 19, 20, 21, the 16-year-old, you know, that's not the way you want to build your country, is off nicotine, vape pens, energy drinks, and weapons manufacturing in the kitchen. That's not how you want to raise your family.
Future generations coming up to rebuild your country. But is that what you meant, Terry, by depressing?
A little bit.
But when the other option is to just completely lose your country altogether, you're like, hey, well, this might be it. This is what the next step looks like for us. And I would add that it is, we touched on a little, it's like, you know, there's a lot of funding coming into this. These aren't the most expensive drones, but they're not free. You know, who's getting a cut? How is the government just making 1 million drones all of a sudden? And, you know, who's compensating that person who's now not working their job, but is making 5 drones a week? That's not a lot. I mean, it's more than they were making before, but it's a very interesting situation. And over here, you know, we don't have to worry about FPV, weaponized FPV drones yet, but
yet
space debris What are we looking at here? June 25th, just 4 days ago. What do we got? NASA confirms space debris in North Carolina was from SpaceX Crew Dragon reentry. What is going on in North Carolina?
It's always North Carolina, man.
We're the state that's popping off. It's probably, I don't know, I feel like it's also the algorithm that identifies where we are. It's like, oh, let me feed them North Carolinian news. But
oh, that makes sense. That could make sense. Canton, North Carolina.
No. I was trying to find that.
The Glamping Collective Resort. Yeah, space debris found on a walking trail at the Glamping Collective Resort in Canton, North Carolina, now confirmed to be from the re-entry of a part of the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft.
Some beautiful mountains in the distance with some space debris in the foreground of the photo we're looking at. It looks like a door almost, or a hatch. But I can't imagine that's what it is.
It looks fuzzy.
Yeah, it looks very fuzzy.
We meant for that to happen. Coming in. Yeah.
We were testing out failure. I like it.
There's always some weird stuff happening in Asheville, man.
Yeah, that's definitely. Asheville.
Well, I want to know how many people saw that and thought of a UFO.
And I guess, nuts, just like got in their car and just kept driving. They're still driving today. That's definitely North Carolina, though. When you look at that, how green and those
grandpa lives there, man. Hills. He's probably seen it.
That blue sky, that Carolina blue sky.
And I guess if anything, that's the place here. For it to land is a very, like, I know it's not the most secluded, but it's better than a populated city or the suburbs. Like, this is a mountain range.
Best it lands in the mountains.
Well, it always comes back to that flight path. Like, it's not just for drones. When you do a drone's flight path, you're looking at, you know, how do we plan this route that's going to mitigate the risk to people and property on the ground? And the same thing is how, when they're launching these rockets, they're really and bringing things back in for reentry and decommission of satellites. What's the path that we can bring this in on that is going to have the least risk to people on the ground?
Well, didn't they say that it like completely burned up by the time it hit the ground? And it's just, I mean, that's a pretty big piece of hardware you got there. I don't know if they did their math right on that.
It about the size like of a standard car hood. Covered
carbon
in
fiber.
Carbon fiber weave. That fuzzy weave. And then several smaller pieces were found in residents' yards.
I wonder what type of insurance you need for that.
Have re.
Like, if you're a homeowner and space debris hits your house.
Hopefully you just sue whoever did it, I guess. That's your insurance.
I don't know if that's how that works.
They kind of have to pay you at that point.
The trunk, the reentry of Dragon spacecraft trunk hardware to NASA. It's part of the trunk or service module.
Yeah, it's like where they keep the satellites that they bring in the orbit.
Well, when you bring them back, so like the decommission. So not only do we take stuff to space, but we also have a need to return things from space, and not everything that we return has to be pressurized. It's exactly like an airplane. You know how the bags get loaded into the bottom of the plane? Well, they're not pressurizing the baggage compartment the way they're pressurizing the cabin, because a human being needs, this is such an interesting piece, right? A human being needs a certain amount of pressurization. So when a spacecraft comes back to, they're actually now at the point where the spacecraft, the vehicles are so large, they have pressurized return space. So the humans, the astronauts, they're in a pressurized portion of the vehicle coming back. And they also have a trunk, like in your car, you know, your trunk, it doesn't have air conditioning. You definitely couldn't put a you could put a person in your trunk, but if you drive, you know, through certain heat, don't put anybody in your trunk, please. This is not, you know, we don't we're not advocating for the use of the trunk, but it'd be very uncomfortable, right? So coming back in that trunk space of the of a spacecraft means it's an unpressurized. It's kind of like a storage space. Garbage, you know, there's some things, and sometimes you do release these items during reentry because it's going to burn up. So it's like you empty the trunk upon
going down the highway, open up your trunk, let all the trash fly out.
Yeah, just make sure you don't have any like junk mail with your name and address on it.
It's something to be jettisoned, essentially, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, but that's cool. And then like North Carolina, someone's going to they're going to be all pissed about it and then take it and sell it to a museum.
Also, they said that there was like more debris that came up in Saudi Arabia, right? Is that the other place they mentioned?
I saw, yeah, and the path I know went through Saudi Arabia. Bring that up. This person posted like a flight.
Most recently, the trunks that supported SpaceX's 30th commercial services resupply and Crew 7 missions re-entered over Saudi Arabia and North Carolina, respectively. Yeah.
Jonathan McDowell. The re-entry path went over Asheville, so you can see
right over Asheville.
This line. Canton. Asheville, and then right over Canton, which is where this
I used to live on that line.
There you go.
Could have been me. I had a hot air balloon land in my yard one time when I was there. Just weird stuff happens in Asheville, so
just a hot air balloon just checking in.
Just on your toes.
Yep. They apologized. We were like, all right, you can leave now. They took it with them.
Just kind of go on. Seen Stranger Things though, right?
Now we've got some 4th of July coming up. What is usually associated with 4th of July?
Fireworks.
No, Terry. No, Samuel.
No fireworks? I think of fireworks.
This is not the firework part of the show.
Oh.
Yes, fireworks.
Drones with fireworks.
100% we think of fireworks. But now, just like us, for the last 8 weeks, almost 2 months, drone light shows coming up constantly.
I think it's funny because the algorithm had me prior to the podcast. Like, I was still getting those before we started the podcast. So, just keeps on coming, I guess.
And so what do we got here? Where do people need to travel?
I think this is a special holiday. Shout out to all of our Colorado listeners, which probably right now not any, but in the future when you look back on this, you had Denver's largest ever drone show planned for July the 3rd of 2024. It's going to be down at the Civic Center Conservancy, planning for the largest ever drone show in Denver. Celebrate Independence Day, running from 5 to 10 p.m. I would love to be there. I don't think I'm going to be able to make that, though. Featuring over 300 drones at Lincoln Veterans Memorial Park. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Dude, July 3rd, you could do a fly in and out.
Just go, fly and come right back.
Yeah, you fly in at like noon, get the first flight out, and then...
I can only imagine the crowds. There's like the air traffic.
Catch the red eye.
Yeah, the red eye, I guess.
Yeah, you can catch the red eye home.
Huh.
No hotel. You just pack some snacks.
I think I'm going to need to compile a road trip list for each episode we do. Because I think last episode we did the Redwoods, right? Was that last episode? Talked about going there, too.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. There are also plans for two different light shows that will illuminate the park's iconic structures. Interesting. Emerging young DJs.
Huh. As a former citizen of Colorado, how does this, do you feel like this will be well accepted or?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes me want to jump on a plane for a day trip. And they're launching a night market that evening with different food options. How about that? And there's going to be a family zone.
Something for everyone to do, it seems.
Bring the family. Yes. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, what the heck's going on in Raleigh? What's going on in Fayetteville? Even better question. What's going
on? We got to get down to Festival Park and pitch them a drone show and show them that we can do it and let them know that, hey, what do you guys want? Do you want a giant American flag over Fayetteville? Because I think that'd be kind of cool. Drone light show American flag. Or even what was that drone light show we saw with the fireworks on it? It was an eagle that was on fire almost, or it was shooting sparks. Do you remember that one? That one was kind of sick.
Yeah, that was the Texas one, the sky element.
Yeah, just got to show them what is possible.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, though, I still think we're kind of at that point where this is very, very new to people. Like, people don't know what a drone light show is until they see it, you know, or they see it on TikTok or Instagram, but
just fireworks. I'm looking up in Raleigh, you know, Dick's Park.
I see a lot of drone people at Dick's Park.
Yeah, I don't know if they're just doing fireworks. Oh, no, I've been there. Yeah. I'm just saying on 4th of July, they're just on Tuesday, July 4th at 6 p.m. They're just doing like 40 food trucks and they'll have fireworks at 9 o'clock.
No. No, not this time.
What is not allowed? Well, I'll tell you the only place there's at Dorothea Dix on 4th of July, because I'm going to bring it up. The only place there's drones is on the not allowed list. What is not allowed? Drones. Leave your pets at home. Leave your drones at home. Keep your drug use off the property. We don't want your smoking or your vaping.
No vapes.
We don't need your weapons. So we don't need any, what was his name?
Dennis, I think.
Darwin.
I think.
Survival of the fittest.
Well, we don't want Dennis shooting the drones, and we don't want Darwin using drones. Killer combo.
It's going to be a great event. 4th of July events across the country, they're going to be great. No, Dennis isn't allowed at any of them. Him and his guns. Can't bring his guns. Darwin can't be there with his weaponized drone and his excessive vaping. Goodness.
Sounds like a terrible event, man. You can't have alcohol, nicotine, drugs, drones. You can't have any
Karis
of that.
Said he's out. He's not
North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina farmer can't bring his drone. No spraying
can't even grill.
The groups. Can't even grill. Well, that's Raleigh, and then I don't know. I didn't even look up. There's got to be something, right?
What is I very un-American not knowing what day the 4th is this year. That's the Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. That's That's Thursday.
No? Thursday?
Thursday.
I don't know why I said Tuesday.
It's Wednesday. Oh my goodness.
Thursday. Tuesday, Thursday, same thing. Apex, downtown Apex. A parade. They're doing a parade. No nighttime.
I wonder what that entails, a night market.
Lights hung over the street lamps.
That is crazy.
It's just nothing. It's just fancy words for food trucks that are illuminated.
But Well, you'd wonder. I wonder if Air Vision is doing like a drone. You think a drone light show company would find a way to do something
for like this very special event going on, one of the biggest events for Americans throughout the year.
Yeah, like you'd find someone who would be willing to pay.
Right.
There you go. 4th of July, Fayetteville.
I think Utah has a drone show as well. Let's see.
Utah.
Just found an article.
John McBride. Fayetteville residents. Fireworks can be tough on veterans and your pets. Mm. They've like lumped pets and veterans into the... That's something.
How do you... I don't know. How do your guys' dogs do with the 4th? Yeah.
Dogs
mine does all right, I think.
The Cannapolis Cannonballers. So the Fayetteville Woodpeckers play the Cannapolis Cannonballers on July 3rd for a fireworks celebration.
I'll be sure to be there.
Yeah, Sacred Stadium. And then there's some orchestra on July 4th at Festival. Not seeing anything. Yeah, Denver. Get out to Denver if you can on July 3rd. 300 drones. Well, it's nowhere near the Guinness Book of World Records. I think we shared that like on episode 3. It was like 5,300. It was like 5,300 drones or 5,273. They'll have 300 out there.
You can still do epic. A good amount. We saw 100.
Samuel and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw 2. We saw 100. Samuel and I did, and that was pretty epic. So two or three times, you know, 200 more, I think would be, it's a significant jump. It's like going from 50 to 100, 100 to 300. Really cool stuff there. Celebrating, you know, happily and safely. Just a couple things here to kind of end on a regulatory side. We're looking at June 21st, so a little over a week ago, this had come out. We hadn't touched on it. A lot of people just in the past week that I talked to had been, you know, Autel Robotics even came out with like a statement basically saying, hey, you know, just wanted to remind everyone that this legislation is a ban on DJI, and we're not DJI, we're Autel. You know, we're the orange drone company. We're the Dragonfish company. And that was awesome. It was like, okay, cool. You know, it's there's options. And then what I've recently seen via this is again just the momentum in the direction of putting Autel in the same category as DJI. So the Department of Commerce actually placed Autel on its blacklist, which prohibits American companies from doing business with Autel. So it doesn't mean Autel can't sell drones in the U.S. It just means that a U.S. company is not allowed to do business with Autel directly. So still, I don't fully entirely understand that. I know the product like DJI is still available, but this is just another one of those steps to prevent the use and purchase of drones manufactured in China. Dragonfish drone, that's kind of like where Autel's recently separated themselves from DJI and others in the industry. Is not their quadcopters, but they've been producing this fixed wing aircraft. It flies for 90 minutes, takes off vertically, and then flies like an airplane. It's got 18 kilometer range, really from a ISR standpoint, surveillance, recon, inspection, long distance. This thing is a beast. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on the Autel here, familiar with Autel. And then also just to kind of piggyback off that recent article in DroneLife.com by Miriam that came out a few days ago was on Adam Bry, the CEO of Skydio, testifying to the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. So they brought a bunch of folks in from the semiconductor space, shipbuilding space, drone industry, and kind of had them sit down and testify about where the American industry is at. And the biggest point I wanted to just kind of make from all this is that, you know, since 2014, Skydio has supplied over $40,000 drones to more than 2,000 enterprise and government customers. So in a decade, 40,000 drones, 4,000 drones a year, right? These global companies like DJI, they made 40,000 of one drone in the first batch in 3 months.
You can see how he's highlighting the issue here.
And so that's where we get back to that onesie, the thing that we talked about last week or the week before, like the onesies and twosies. Like that sounds like a lot to a politician that doesn't have the whole context. Like, oh, you're 40,000. Well, how many people were employed? How many, you know, it's such a small drop when we even think automotive. You know, think automotive. Think of how Tesla went from selling no cars to selling millions of cars in a couple of years. Not a decade, a couple of years, they were manufacturing millions of cars. It's insane. But we're certainly still in the middle of all of this, you know, regulatory, not even regulatory, just political volleying back and forth. Yes, you know, increasing role of small drones on the battlefield. So then this whole thing gets into drones are being used in Ukraine. They're essential and they're required. And that's the one point I didn't make is when you step back and look, you're like, oh, where are all those batteries made? Where are those frames from? Where that you know, young woman who's building those drones in Ukraine, she's making 5 a week. Where is she getting all her components from? China, the country that is supportive of Russia, who they're fighting. This world's crazy. It's a crazy world.
If there's money to be made, there's money to be made.
And so you've got a company that's made 40,000 drones in a decade and has sold them to the government is now, you know, speaking of the importance of, you know, weaponized drones and ISR drones, dual use drones. And it's like, yeah, but what about the folks over here that are just trying to do commercial real estate, spray crops? You don't have a solution for them. So we need to step back and we need to really rethink what we're doing here with a ban on DJI drones and step back and look at that phased approach that has come up multiple times from politicians to industry manufacturers to end users to everybody. It's this common theme that it's kind of like, you know, if someone's doing something bad and it's become a significant part and they're dependent on it. Like, what does that sound like? Drug use. Oh, when someone's, you know, become dependent on, you know, you step back and you go, well, what are the options here to help this person? Cold turkey. We're just going to rip it out of their hand and just force them to stop. You know, are we going to substitute what they're using, some one bad thing for another? Right. Or, you know, are we going to wean them off, you know, a little bit at a time and have this, like, you know, phase? It's some things work in some cases and in others. And when you're looking at it from that drug use, like, human beings in general are different. Everyone's situation is different. So that kind of comparison probably isn't the best. When you're looking at the country as a whole, I think it's a lot, making an objective decision is a little more straightforward as far as, you know, if this is a security issue and we're really putting our own lives, then we need to just ban it. We need to cut the cancer out. You know, if this is cancer and it's going to kill us, we need to cut it off. But if this is more of a, we're trying to be self-sufficient in the long term, then we need to do it slowly and do it phased and do it in a way that's not going to destroy the whole market. Yeah. We don't want to. Thoughts there? If not, it's a great episode. Covered some.
Had Dennis and Darwin in the podcast this week. Pretty awesome.
Dennis.
Learned a lot.
Darwin.
Follow up next week with some drone light shows and CCP ban again, probably, yeah. Reoccurring topics.
Yeah, I feel like we'll be talking about that for a while.
Yeah, until November. Yeah, all the way through election cycle, the Chinese drone stuff will be a huge topic of. You know, eventually, Samuel's going to be coming into an episode talking about how, well, I just got 10 of these light show drones and I'm starting a company. And so instead of telling us the news from around the country and world, we'll be getting the news right from the operator's mouth.
There you go.
But yeah, it was awesome. Good episode. We started in North Carolina talking about Mr. Hedrick, you know, a record holding soybean and corn farmer based here in North Carolina, kind of speaking up about the value DJI's ag spray drones have provided to him and the community, and how, you know, it's time for, you know, these senators and the politicians to just kind of listen and hear what's really going on. Talked about the Florida man, you know, it wasn't a matter of if, but when someone was going to shoot at a delivery drone. So it's happened. So we'll have more to come on that as that case unfolds. I'm sure some articles will be popping up in Drone Life. It'll be intriguing to see. Additionally, talked about the integration of drones into the front lines, the Ukrainian war, how this technology is just completely shifting things, and what that has the ability to do, and how that can change people. And the SpaceX debris circled back here to North Carolina. That was neat. Really intriguing. More aircraft, spacecraft are going to, how that shapes up and changes the future of launches and recoveries of space vehicles will be neat. Denver, if you're free on July 3rd and you got a couple of airline miles, maybe you'd hop on out to Denver for a day trip and catch a light show. Definitely check the weather first. I'm sure high winds and rain will definitely keep those drones grounded. So maybe get that trip insurance. And finally, we talked about Autel being blacklisted and developments on the countering and the Chinese Communist Party drones, and how are we going to establish a U.S. Drone manufacturing base. And hopefully it happens. And I think if things are done appropriately and the right approach is taken, then, you know, the drone industry will continue to grow in a positive direction as it has. So we appreciate everybody tuning in for this week's episode of Weekly Wings by DroneLife.com. As always, if you have any questions or comments, you can leave those at the YouTube channel, or you can always email Miriam at DroneLife.com, Paul Rossi at 910Drones. Thank you, everyone, for your time and attention. And thank you, Samuel and Terry, for being here.
Fly safe and happy 4th.